Hey, all you space cats, it's your favorite underground artist, Mitch Miller, and this is the Black Hole Podcast. This is episode 7 of TraffNet, season 5, I believe we're on. And we're talking some stuff today, and this is going to be, the next episode is going to be the season finale, so tune in for that. I'm hoping to get it in before the end of the year. But in the last episode of TraffNet, I got a little bit off course from our traffic reducing strategy company, and talked a little bit about reforming the pornography industry. I am a photographer. I studied photography in college, mostly 35mm film photography, but lighting for that type of photography is much harder than these new digital cameras, and I did get a new digital camera. So in the new year, I am looking to develop a network of photographers that we can guarantee that our subjects, our models, are not in any way trafficked or coerced into modeling in specific ways. So if you are a photographer, know a photographer that takes those type of artistic nude pictures, things like that, you know, maybe tune them into this podcast. But, you know, if we're going to reform the dark and seedy underbelly of the pornography industry, I'm probably not going to be able to have a business as transparent as what I've been proposing for the past 5 or 3 or 4 years, just from the nature of how we can reform this thing. But that's, you know, a course that I may or may not pursue if there's interest in, as I said, guilt-free pornography. But that's kind of a dark note. Let's have a change in the weather and talk about traffic strategies, specifically autonomous and semi-autonomous vehicles. I've talked about the dangers of them. I've talked about the future of them a little bit, but here's the future of autonomous vehicles, in my opinion. Here's where you start. Instead of doing all these experiments in Pittsburgh like you're doing, or other cities with these semi-autonomous and autonomous vehicles, I think the place where they should start is on the interstate highway system. This should be a federal strategy for, I think, first of all, you have semi-tractor trailer trucks that are autonomous that ship from city to city, stop at a depot, and then you still have your truckers that drive the last few miles and maneuver the vehicle around the city streets and things of that nature. But there's two reasons why I see this strategy. I mean, number one, there are no pedestrians on the interstate highway system. So, you know, so in the city, there's pedestrians. Some of these pedestrians don't even have vehicles. Some of them are anti-car, and you're subjecting them to autonomous vehicles that could injure them, you know, and new technology that have never been tried before with several thousand pound vehicles that are basically weapons that can injure, damage, and hurt people. So I think when you deploy autonomous vehicles, that's where you do it. It's like a federal effort agreed upon by all the states to have, you know, these autonomous tractor trailers at first. And the way I envision this, you know, rolling out in the most sustainable and green way is, And the trucking, the Teamsters Union will probably appreciate this, but I think you do it the right way, like I've been saying, and you bury the data lines underground, under the road. So what I'm proposing is that you add a third lane to the interstate highway system. Some areas already have a third lane, but they're mostly the connectors in around the cities. You add a third lane, the right lane, the slow lane, is for tractor trailers You bury the data lines under there for the autonomous tractor trailers. You have autonomous vehicles that stay in this lane. So if you want to go from city to city in a sedan, you can do it. You can set your thing, but you have to ride in the right lane, the slow lane. So you might only be going 60, 65 miles an hour, depending on how the technology works out. But we're open to the vehicle where you just hop in, you set it, and you go to Baltimore on an 8-hour drive by just hitting a button. That's the next step after the tractor trailers, I believe. But you also have, and I think these tractor trailers should be electric, and you also have the option, there's technology now where they can bury certain technology under the road that charges an electric vehicle while it's driving. So you have that right lane, that third lane, for this technology that charges electric vehicles. You standardize it and you put it in the ground. So now you have the data, you have everything under one lane, the data, the recharging, and how do you power this? You power it with green energy, and I think what you do, they have the technology to put solar panels under roads now, but those roads get tore up every 5 or 3 or 4 years because they get worn. But what doesn't get worn that much? The shoulder of the interstate highway system. So on the shoulder of the interstate highway system, you have solar panels under a membrane on the shoulders of the interstate highway system. And you could do this on every interstate highway system and power small communities along those corridors. And small communities could contribute to the charging mechanisms under the road in the interstate highway system on the proposed extra lane I'm proposing. So it's an interconnected type of system that is secured by at least hypothetically the best private security company we can employ, or it's a government effort that's secured by the top government experts that can create a secure network for these autonomous vehicles traveling from city to city. So that's kind of what I propose, instead of relying on a wireless network that's produced by a bunch of private companies and artificial intelligence with cameras and motion detectors. You can still, and I guess that's where I'm going, is we could do so much better with the cockpit of a vehicle to enable a driver to be a much better driver, rather than just saying we need to make all vehicles autonomous and that'll be the safest streets we have, right? We can put cameras and motion detectors, and I'm not big on wireless waves for radar and sonar and all that stuff, but we can now put this stuff in the cockpits of vehicles so that they get alerts when there's something in their blind spot. And a lot of vehicles are doing this, but you could do it with a bigger, you know, with a better rollout of this type of technology so that a good driver can be an excellent driver because they'll be alerted at every movement around their vehicle and not just rely on mirrors and turning their heads and things like that. So, you know, that's what I suggest instead of a cityscape of autonomous vehicles driving around. And basically with these autonomous vehicles, you know, what you're doing is you're taking liability off of the roads. You now have millions and millions of drivers who are extra cautious because they all know, everyone knows, if you hit a pedestrian or if you hit another vehicle, your life is going to be ruined for some amount of time, possibly forever, depending on how serious it is. So, you know, you're going to lose your license, you could face jail time, you could face fines, penalties, your insurance goes up. There's all these factors that make people extra cautious and extra careful when they're driving. And you're taking that off of the roads, and you're saying we're going to have a bunch of autonomous vehicles, probably facilitated by the automobile companies, that, you know, if something happens, something's right, like I suggested, a national security issue, the CEO, the liability's on a board of directors and a CEO, if that, and most people form corporations to get out of liability. So that CEO is going to get a slap on the wrist. The company's going to get a fine. But, you know, you're taking the liability of millions and putting it into the hands of the few in a corporation somewhere that probably doesn't care about people, really, you know, individuals. And it's probably facilitated or run by sociopaths. I mean, that's a personal projection, but I think you should try putting schizoaffective people in leadership positions rather than sociopaths, because schizoaffective people think about technology and how it should be deployed and are paranoid about this stuff. And, you know, if they're on medication and can maintain their lifestyle, they can definitely be in to a leadership position in a major corporation. But that's a personal opinion, obviously. There's not too many up at the top there. And we're seeing some stuff in the headlines of some seriously mentally ill people that do have a bunch of money that are not using it very well. So, but that's neither here nor there. That's how I see it deployed. You have a interconnected interstate system with green energy on the shoulders, providing energy for communities, providing energy for the charging of electric vehicles while they're in motion, hypothetically, autonomous and semi-autonomous features rolled out in that way. You hit the cities last because there's a lot of pedestrians, there's bicyclists, there's all kinds of other factors that just doesn't make sense for a network of autonomous vehicles at this point. So get behind TrafNet if you agree with this way of deploying things. You know, that's my proposal. That's what I would do if I was some kind of leadership. And I'm going to go into how I should be in a leadership position of a technology company in the next episode when I talk about mapping systems and companies I contacted with this idea for TrafNet. So thanks for listening to this episode. You know, I'd like to thank my sponsors, Neon Grouse Embroidery and Screen Printing. If you need a design or logo embroidered on a piece of garment or clothing, contact neongrouse.com. Ask for me or Nick, and we'll make sure you get set up with your clothing order. There's also WPC. Sportswear.com, I think it is. That's our neighbor in the same complex. They do great work for uniforms and things like that. You know, sports uniforms, things of that nature. And I'd like to also thank Krabby Kelly's up in Utica, Pennsylvania. If you're in Utica, Pennsylvania, stop by Krabby Kelly's. Get all your STDs at Krabby Kelly's. That's snacks, tobacco, and drinks. Thanks to French Creek Farms, that's where we got our Christmas tree this year. They have Christmas trees, they have great camping along the French Creek in Utica, Pennsylvania. Good friends of mine operate it, and they're great. So thanks for the Christmas tree. And little shout out, I ran into a friend that I knew from college at was bartending down in Lawrenceville. So shout out for Kativo Bar in Lawrenceville. Great little bar there. See your bartender. And also my bartending friends at Sonny's Tavern right around the corner from my house. So shout out to them, those bartenders. Please remember to tip them. Tipping is not a city in South Korea, but Incheon is. So if you're in Incheon, South Korea, stop by Liquor Burger, friend's bar. They frequent there. And ask for a black hole shot at all these places. I know Krabby Kelly's will do a black hole shot. I've done some up there. That's Jägermeister with a little bit of pepper sprinkled on top. Try the Black Hole Shot. Thanks for listening, and join me next time for the season finale.